I totally want to believe that the Nintendo NX was just revealed to be a $60 NES on a chip. Plus, I totally can't believe I'm about to talk about Pokemon. Tonight is July 17th, 2016, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
You see, it's not clickbait if you already had to click on the MP3 file or the audio file to hear the clickbaity headline. It's not, I'm not BuzzFeed. Trust me. Hello, everybody, and welcome to, apparently, a clickbaity edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show. It's been a while, so welcome back. Where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. You're joining us live here on a very eventful night in esports. Welcome. Head on over. We're here at the Voice of Geeks Network. Head on over to live.vognetwork.com. And I'll be trying to read intelligent comments throughout the night about any of the topics that we're talking about tonight. And if you are logged into the site over at vognetwork.com, you can check in. We're halfway through the month, and you can check in just like SJ100 Matt and Pod Culture. They checked in at some point during the intro to the show. We thank them for that. If you're listening on the podcast feed, you will hear a passphrase interrupting the episode somewhere very rudely. You can put that passphrase in on the site for the same amount of points and adoration from me. So a little bit later on, we are going to be opening up the Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can leave comments on a previous episode over at vognetwork.com. And I promise I do read them. We just haven't gotten any comments. And I like to read real comments. I don't read fake ones that I write, even though I've thought about it. I totally have, but I haven't actually done it. So a couple quick notes about the show. Next week is the 11th anniversary of the show, actually on the day. July 24th, 2005 was the first episode of this show. And I think what is next week is going to be episode 535 of the show on July 24th, 2016. So it's actually on the day of. So it's we're not going to do anything too spectacular because it is kind of an odd number. But, you know, hey. If somebody wants to send something, send some congrats, just send me an MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number. Don't call the Skype line because for some reason my Skype account doesn't actually save voicemails from a Skype account. It only saves them from the toll-free number. And I've tried to work that out with Skype, and they can't figure it out. Also, in terms of that, the following week, I'm going to celebrate 11 years, and then I'm going to take a week off. Not really taking a week off. I'm going to be going to up to Louisville, Kentucky to hang out with Brad from Pod Culture, which is Monday nights here on the Voice Geeks Network, because I'm going up to Fandom Fest, which is a science fiction convention up there. Stan Lee is a guest. Kevin Smith is a guest. And then like half of NSYNC and Backstreet Boys are guests. Like, it's really kind of weird. I don't know what box to put it in until I see it myself. So if you're actually in the area, come by and hook up. Let's sync up on Twitter or something. I don't know if I'm going to be there as press or not. I applied as press and have not heard back. So chances are I'm going to be buying a ticket at the door. I will be driving up and stuff. So that means I will not be doing a show on that Sunday night. Yeah. So that's it. And then Dragon Con is really coming up very, very, very soon. So there's not going to be a show Labor Day weekend as well. So I'm taking a lot of time off. I feel like I'm being lazy. But actually, all these times I've had to take off, I've actually been working a lot harder. And I probably would have preferred, I mean, even though it's fun to go up there, it's actually less work to be at home doing the show than whatever I'll be doing on those weekends, especially last weekend when I was out, which I would love to talk about, but I really can't. I am so sorry. And SJ100 Matt asks, will there be any video from the show or the drive? Actually, I've done that drive already. I have actually not done the drive. So, yes, we are, I still do the Tesla videos, which Tesla's been in the news a lot, and I do have thoughts on that, but this is not a Tesla podcast, so I'm not going to preach about how autopilot is not faulty. I promise you it's not. No, I have not actually done the drive to Louisville. We're actually going to take a longer route from Atlanta to Louisville, because I did a drive from Atlanta to Nashville. And the easy way to get to Louisville is to take that route and then just add the Louisville leg. But we're going to take a little bit of a different route to show some of the different superchargers. So, yes, there will be a video of the drive up. If we find something at the show to video, we will absolutely video it. But if we don't have press credentials, then I'm not really going to be trying to get coverage, because they want to see output if they give you press credentials. And so I'll work then, but if they're not going to give me that, then I'm not going to – unless we see something really cool, and then we'll do a video. Tiger Claw says, I'm sure we can expect a Tesla video to DragonCon. No, because it's like 20 miles away. It's no different than anything else. So that's also why I didn't do a video down to Southern Fried Game Room Expo, because it's like 15 miles away. No point. But this is a video game podcast, not a Tesla podcast. So I did want to say, because I haven't been on the air, I did spend a lot of time watching Summer Games Done Quick a while ago. And that was like 2 weeks ago. I spent a lot. And it always reminds me every time, and I forget until the next Games Done Quick, is that I really need to incorporate the phrase, that's bad RNG, into my everyday life. I need to, like, you know, oh, you know, if something... You know, if traffic is bad in front of me on a commute, that's just bad RNG. If I say something and somebody takes it the wrong way and gets mad, that's just bad RNG. That's got to be my go-to. And I keep saying that every time, and I will forget, and then I probably won't incorporate it. And then January and Awesome Games Done Quick, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's bad RNG. Yeah. So, no, but... you know, that was great to watch a lot of the great stuff. Some of my highlights were Half Coordinated is a runner who is who only really has full motion control on one side of his body. And he demolished a speed run and then gave a moving speech afterwards. That was really good. I actually did donate because, and it wasn't during that. I actually donated because the Braid speed run had a world record. And they actually were having a problem getting a pacifist run or saving the animals on Tie the Tasmanian Tiger, which was one of the, like, the late night blocks where they play the weird games that aren't, you know, the ones that everybody wants to watch. So I actually did donate, and actually this is it right here.
Bobby Blackwolf donates $50. World record hype. Congrats to Seawolf20 on the Braid speed run. Save the animals from Tie the Tasmanian Tiger.
It was late. It was late, so he didn't realize what I was going for there. So everybody's voting on the Metroid at the end. I wanted to save all the animals from Tie the Tasmanian Tiger, and we actually made the goal for that, and the guy, the speedrunner, actually kept forgetting. And so we really didn't have a pacifist run of it. I actually had that, and it was actually kind of interesting, because to get that clip, I had to go back to the Twitch broadcast, and it archives the chat, and they did meme my name a little bit. Which was kind of funny, reading the chat. But other than that, never read the Twitch chat. Going on right now is Evo out in Las Vegas. It's actually going to be on ESPN2 tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern. I guess 10 o'clock everywhere. I guess it doesn't matter. So 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And that's going to be the Street Fighter V finals. And they're actually in, I think, the Mohican Sun or Mandalay Bay or whatever. The arena. Basically, the arena that there's going to be a hockey team playing, because apparently Las Vegas is not too hot to have a hockey team. And the Melee is going on right now in there. Actually, a listener of the show, a friend of the show, Rob D, he's actually there. He actually competed this week. He went 3-2 in... I think it was Street Fighter is what he went 3-2 in. And then he did Melee. He didn't do as well in Melee. And I think he did Marvel as well. Mandalay Bay is where it is. It was one of the M casino name type things. So it's actually in the arena there. the finals. And but yeah, the Rob D was there, and he's been posting pictures. And it's funny, Bill Watson, who is an ESPN commentator, basketball star, he's actually there. And according to the Rob D, when he posted up on Facebook, which is a private post, he actually is like, yeah, he looks confused and doesn't know what to do, but he's getting into the crowd hype. Because I think he's going on like SportsCenter and stuff tonight. So prepare for all the what the hell is this doing on ESPN stuff today, tonight. So yeah, so and Tiger Claw repeats, it's 3 hours, and I've already got my TiVo set tonight. So, but yeah, so it's kind of funny to see all that happen. And actually, they've got a really neat stage set up there, you know, in the middle of the arena. And it's not a sold out show, but there are a lot of people there. And SJ100 Matt says, this is not where the hockey team is playing. I don't like hockey. I live in Atlanta. I don't like hockey. So yeah, so that's what's going on. Also, I kind of wanted to mention that, I may or may not do the game jam. I talked 2 weeks ago about a game jam that's going on. Itch.io has a lot of game jams that go on, and this one was one that was recommended to me by a friend of the show, Kyle Pittman, who's working on Gunmetal Arcadia now. We had him on the show for Super Win the Game when that came out. And I asked for submissions, and we actually got one. Dark Tetsuya gave us a submission of a Famicom. Basically, the idea was... of this game jam is it's inspired by a fake Famicom game cartridge. And I said, hey, if somebody wants to, you know, make, even use MS Paint or something and make something. Dark Tetsuya submitted Glampsters, which I guess is an OLR dream game. And basically all I have to do is I would have to make a game that kind of that where that might fit. Like it's, I don't know what type of game it would be. But then after that happened, I got like slammed at work. So I don't know if I'm going to have time to by April 1st to make a game, especially because I'm going up to Kentucky, so it really has to be done by July 27th or something like that. So don't know if I'm going to participate, but thank you, Dark Tetsuya, for Glampsters. If I do make one, that is going to be the game that it would be. So let's go ahead and get into the news and the stuff that's been going on in the past 2 weeks. Luckily, it's been a slow news week, kind of. So the first one I want to talk about is that I actually think, you know, I would laugh so hard if this was actually the Nintendo NX, because it's something nobody would have expected, but it's not. But I think that should be like the new rumor, is like this is actually the Nintendo NX. Game Informer reports that Nintendo is releasing a mini classic edition NES that comes with built-in 30 games for $59.99. The NES Classic Edition comes out on November 11th, and the box also includes an HDMI cable, AC adapter, and Classic NES controller. You can get a second controller, either another Classic controller or the Classic Controller Pro, sold separately for $9.99. The Classic Controller can also be connected to a Wii Remote Controller in order to play Virtual Console NES titles on a Wii or a Wii U. So basically, it's a smaller NES that outputs HDMI, so it actually works on current TVs, which also means you don't get Duck Hunt. And it comes with an NES controller. And instead of actually taking the original controllers, the ports that are on it for the controllers are the same ones that you plug into, like, a Wii Nunchuck into or the Wii Classic controller. So it's that type of controller. So now you can actually get an actual NES controller that you can plug into a Wii remote that then you can use on Virtual Console titles. So the games that are going to be on it, and also there's no password system, so it's going to have multiple suspend points. So I guess you don't need to say passwords anymore. Balloon Fight, Bubble Bobble, Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, not Castlevania 3, which I don't know if this means it's actually an emulator and it's not actually NES hardware. I don't know. Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Double Dragon 2, The Revenge, Dr. Mario, Excitebike, Final Fantasy, Galaga, Ghosts and Goblins, Gradius, Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure, Mario Brothers, Mega Man 2, Metroid, Ninja Gaiden, Pac-Man, Punch-Out featuring Mr. Dream, Star Tropics, Super C, Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Bros. 2, Super Mario Bros. 3, Tecmo Bowl, The Legend of Zelda, and Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. So a couple things to note. A, like Castlevania 3 not being on there means that it's probably not an NES on a chip, because Castlevania 3 is notoriously one of the most difficult games to emulate because of all the tricks that they used in it. So I don't know if it's actual like NES hardware that they've distilled down to a chip. But the other thing is just the software selection. You notice it's not all Nintendo-published titles. They did actually realize that third parties were very important to the NES's success. which it really was. So that's why you've got Konami games. You've got a Capcom game on here. You've got Tecmo Bowl. So it's not just the Nintendo properties. Third parties were very instrumental in making NES work. And same with the Super NES, which is why it kind of sucks that third parties kind of abandon Nintendo and leave them hung out to dry like they did on the Wii U. You know, like when Ubisoft said, hey, we're going to be doing, you know, all these great titles for the Wii U. And then they're like, no, actually, we're delaying them so we can make them multi-platform because the Wii U is a bust. Well, the Wii U is a bust because you guys gave up on them. So, and it's really, Brad from Pod Culture says in chat, that's pretty damn sweet for just $60. Yeah, because, I mean, imagine, because $60, most of these, if you get them on Virtual Console, it's $5 a pop. So that's just 12 of these games to get them Virtual Console, where now you can get 30, you know, in one little box that you can hook up to your TV. And hook up to a current TV or a capture device if you want to stream them. It's easier to stream HDMI than it is anything else now because you can't get decent capture cards for older stuff easily. So, no, this is a great deal for those who want it. Some people won't, you know, will poo-poo it because they're like, oh, I already have an NES, which I do, and I have all the games I want out of this list I already own in cartridge form, and luckily they still work. Some people probably would want, because there was, if you remember the Atari Flashback 2, which was the second Atari Flashback console, that literally was an Atari 2600 on a chip. It was not an emulator. And they actually left on the motherboard of the Atari. Well, the Atari Flashback 2 also had standard controller ports, so you could use any Atari 2600 controller with it, and you could use the controllers on the Atari Flashback 2 on an original system if you wanted. But they also left the area where you would put a cartridge slot on the motherboard. They legally could not include it because they were afraid that people would try to keep calling them for support if they did it wrong or if their cartridge didn't work. So that's why they didn't have a cartridge port on it. But they left the controller port area, the cartridge port area available. And they kept, like, if you took it apart, you could say, they would actually say, here's where you attach the cartridge port. And then you'd Dremel out of the case where you'd put the cartridge in, and it would actually work. They built that into it. So people are like, well, can I do this for the NES thing? And I don't think you can, because I don't think they're going to be willing to be that open with their design to allow you to even just, you know, homebrew it in. But also, because Castlevania 3 is not on there, it may not be an NES. It may just be an emulator. True asks, are there pictures of this thing? Yes, they have like, this is from Nintendo's own website as well, but I'm sure you could find them. Somebody in chat, link him to pictures of this. I can't do it. But it really does look like a tiny NES, and you even hold it in the palm of your hand. So it's actually smaller than a cartridge. So, yeah, so I actually would have loved it if this was the NX. Like, by the way, what's old is new again, and hey, you guys all love the old stuff, so we're going to give you a console that only plays the old stuff. And the reason it is cheap is because, like, everybody's like, well, why don't they have Wi-Fi on it? Why can't I download, buy new games like Virtual Console on it? And I think it's because that would raise the price. You know, there's no real storage on it. I mean, there's storage for the save games and save points and suspend points. But there's no, like, storage that they have to worry about downloading new games. They don't have to put a Wi-Fi adapter and then put an interface on that. It's a really simple interface to play the NES games that they give you. Send it out the door, $60, print money, everybody's happy. That is not the Nintendo NX, but that was the big Nintendo console reveal in the past 2 weeks. But it would have been hilarious if that was the NX and all the rumors were wrong. So let's talk about the next thing that everybody's talking about. Even I'm talking about it. There was a little mobile game. Not by Nintendo. It was not made by Nintendo, but it's Nintendo still profits off it. Pokemon Go. Everybody's playing it. You're playing it. Your nephews and nieces are playing it. Your mom and dad is playing it. Trust me, everybody's playing it. I actually don't have anything prepared for this segment. I just have Pokemon Go in my show notes, and I'm just going to go. So Ingress has gotten rebranded, and I mean, Ingress is still around, and this has become a cultural phenomenon, and it's become a cultural phenomenon for a different reason than some people say, because everybody looks at me as the virtual reality guy, or, you know, the augmented reality guy as well. I do have a HoloLens, and I actually said when I got the HoloLens, this is the AR headset wearable AR is going to suck for gaming. And I did mention the caveat, as I said, headset AR, because I considered Ingress and the upcoming Pokemon Go, and I actually said those words. They're very successful, and they're going to be huge. I didn't realize how huge it was going to be. And it's not because of the augmented reality. That's a little part of it. So if you if you're the one or two people that haven't heard of Pokemon Go, congratulations. Basically, the idea of Pokemon Go is you use the AR camera, the camera on your phone, and it uses augmented reality to place a Pokemon in your real world that you try to catch. So it's Pokemon in real life. It's LARPing Pokemon. You are now, if you're playing Pokemon Go, you are now a LARPer. And that has such a negative connotation. I don't care. You're a LARPer. Welcome to the LARPing world. Everybody's saying, oh, finally, augmented reality gaming is here. And this just proves it. And I said, no. The reason Pokemon Go is such a cultural firestorm right now has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that it's an augmented reality game where you go to locations and you do something. Has absolutely nothing to do with that. And the problem is most app developers right now who are scrambling right now don't understand that. The majority of app developers that are going to try to make a knockoff of Pokemon Go are going to miss the one thing that actually made Pokemon Go the cultural firestorm that it is. And it's not AR, and it's not the gameplay, it's not any of that. I'm not saying everybody, because there are several companies. Once I tell you what it is, there are several companies that could come out with a competitor or a knockoff that could come close to the popularity of Pokemon Go. And it'll be very obvious why. But it's not because of the gameplay. It's not because of the AR. It's because this is a franchise that has been around for 20 years. And it has a huge following. There are people that grew up playing these games. There are people that have, you know, continued playing these games, and they're huge. It is a 20-year franchise that has never really wavered in popularity. And kids grew up with it from the anime and the older games and the newer games and everything, and it's just kept growing, and they've kept that franchise growing. And that is why the phone app for Pokemon Go went as big culturally as it did. Had nothing to do with augmented reality, had nothing to do with GPS gameplay, because other games have done that. Ingress has done it, but it didn't have a franchise that kids grew up with and people grew up with that have been around for the past 20 years. So you're going to find a lot of app developers try to make a game that's maybe even better gameplay than Pokemon Go, but nobody's going to care because it's not a franchise that they identify with. Companies that could do this, Disney, obviously, if they made a competitor, they could actually leverage even like their parks and their stores, and they could do stuff like that to leverage the AR technology and come up with a worthy competitor, because Disney is a franchise that's been around a lot longer than Pokemon. But in order for somebody new to say, hey, how do we make a game that dethrones Pokemon Go? Well, first they're going to have to buy a time machine, go back 20 to 30 years, and get a franchise that is universally beloved and that children have grown up with, and then wait for it to mature enough to then come out on the phones in this manner. Has nothing to do with the AR, has nothing to do with the gameplay, because frankly, the gameplay, there's not that much gameplay right there, but it's the actual franchise and it's the actual nostalgia factor that is what has made it a social phenomenon that it is. Dungeon Buster says they could copy the concept, but it's another question of how it will actually do. Not every first person shooter that tried stealing Doom's thunder was a success, and not every MMO that tried to become the next World of Warcraft was a success. And it's different for different reasons. It's not, and you know, none of those weren't. I mean, Warcraft was a franchise, but like Doom wasn't a franchise before, and so people will latch on to the different things. And you see it in movies. Deadpool the movie did really well, so all the other studios are like, well, now we need to make rated R superhero movies that are funny, and so they went back and like reshot part of Suicide Squad to kind of give it some of that. And that's not really why Deadpool was as received as it was not because, oh, it was just a rated R superhero movie that had funny lines in it. It was more intangible than that, but people are looking for the bullet point. Okay, can we add this? And SJ 100 Matt brings up something. I actually posted about this on my Facebook fan page because I knew I was going to put it. I've started on my personal fan page because there are people on my timeline that don't follow video games that don't care or don't understand why anybody would care about this. And I kind of echoed what SJ 100 Matt says here. I'm amazed at the response, the amount of people playing it. My small hometown track in a local park has been getting 50 people a night. They don't get that many people a day with regular events. So what's actually happening here is 2016 has sucked. There's been lots of bad news, a lot of deaths, both in numbers and then as well as, you know, celebrities and stuff. So it's really seemed like it's been a really negative year. And every time you turn on the news, there's something that is upsetting to some people, and you know, just a lot of negativity. And we just need an escape. And Pokemon Go has provided that escape for a lot of people, and it's provided a lot of people who are of different nationalities and of, you know, of different pasts and stuff to come together for a positive experience. Yes, some players, the vast minority of players, are abusing it, are trespassing, are vandalizing by climbing up things they shouldn't to get to rare Pokemon. There there is a little bit of backlash there. There are people that are, you know, getting in car accidents because they're stupid and playing while driving, which you shouldn't do. But the vast majority of players are playing it right. And I went to there's a park right next to me, and I go to this park once or twice a week if I can. Usually in the evenings, to go walk the trails. It's about 1.5 miles. There's a 1 mile outer trail and a half mile inner trail. And I've been walking at this park for years. Never really had a problem. I went this past Wednesday night for the first time since Pokemon Go came out. I almost could not find a parking spot. And I was like, okay. And I kind of thought I knew what was going on, but I finally got a parking spot and got out, and that park was packed. And it was, and I'm not a very fast walker. I'm a slow walker, not an extremely slow walker. I don't need a walker, so don't get any ideas. But I'm not a speed walker. I'm usually the slowest person on the walking track. People are walking around me, which is fine. You know, I've got my music going. I've had Spotify going on in my headphones. I don't care. I was no longer the slowest person on the track because everybody else had their phones out and they were looking for Pokemon. Everybody. There was one game of kickball going on in kind of a green space area. Everybody else was playing Pokemon. There are 8 Pokestops and 2 gyms in this park. And people were, and there were like a crowd of people all with right by one area that has like pavilions and stuff, and they had lures out, and everybody was just there playing Pokemon. That park has probably never seen that many people there on a Wednesday night. And it's like 90 degrees out. So, I mean, it's not great park weather. And it wasn't, it was, you know, there were kids, but there were parents playing with their kids. And, you know, there were people, you know, my age, which is over 29. But there were also, you know, the 20-somethings. And stuff, and we were all there, and of all different types of skin colors and backgrounds and stuff, and we were all there catching Pokemon. And we were telling people, hey, there's a Tauroid over there, or Tauroid, or whatever the Taurus, the bull, is. And it was a breath of fresh air. It was something positive, which is why it's interesting that the mainstream media has taken such a negative approach of, oh my God, how dangerous is this, and blah, blah, blah. And they're discounting the positive message that this sends. One thing I did notice that was kind of interesting was that some parents were there with their kids. And this is a huge park. But what the parents did is that the kids have Pokemon Go on their iPod Touch, which doesn't have a 4G or 3G connection. But it does have a GPS. So what they did is they made their phone a Wi-Fi hotspot, and they sat in the middle of the 3 lures. Now, the parents were playing too, but they were content playing. But they made their phone a Wi-Fi hotspot, which is what their kids' iPod touches connected to, so the kids couldn't get too far away or they lost their internet access. I thought that was brilliant. I actually went back today, and unfortunately I went back right, and we got to the park and we started, and I was about to drop the egg that has the double XP, and then Canada came online and the servers went offline. But we were there, and there was a group playing there, and there was actually a young lady who had brought water, and she actually had a sign on the cooler, Pokemon Trainers Free Water. And she was just up there next to all the lures and providing water to people. And she actually said that she actually has social anxiety, but this is helping her. She's actually willing to talk to strangers and in this setting. And we met some people. That's when I met the parents that had the iPod, the Wi-Fi hotspot leash. And we just sat there and talked about it. And we would have never met each other had that not happened. This is a cultural phenomenon. When VH1... if they bring, you know, do the I Love the 2010s, or whenever CNN does their the 2010s original series, this is going to be a segment of it. It is. Even if it doesn't last, even if just for a week or 2 weeks, this is that's how long this lasts. And people stop and it doesn't become, I don't think it's going to end. And I think the fever is going to keep going. You know, even then, we've got what has happened is amazing. And I'll tell you this. The reason I was not on the air last week is because I had a business trip in San Francisco. My hotel was, if you're familiar with San Francisco, I was right by the harbor. I was right by Embarcadero Station. So we're talking like the port market is right there. There's a boardwalk and stuff. And just seeing that night, and that was on, I was there on the Sunday night and the Monday night. I was too tired to go out and actually participate, but there were hundreds of people, multiple hundreds. I don't know if there were thousands, but there were hundreds of people just all along the waterfront there. And there were lures everywhere. And where, from my hotel room, I could actually hit a few Pokestops, so I could actually like stock up on the Pokeballs. But there were three gyms over on one side that was all Team Blue. And three gyms on the other side that were all Team Red, and they were kind of still battling and stuff. But I could see all this going on from my hotel room, and it was amazing to see. And I was walking around the streets of San Francisco, and I was seeing people trying to catch Pokemon. They were stopped on the sidewalk trying to catch the Pokemon. So it's really, and some businesses are taking to it. They're and actually I'll say that Battle and Brew, which is the gaming land cafe that's here in Atlanta. They're a Pokemon gym. I guess they were able to get in, when they got to their new location, they were able to get it in, added to Ingress, so that's why it's there. But they're a Pokemon gym. They actually have LED lights in their bar that they can change the color. And so what they've done is that they keep a watch on their gym, and whoever owns the gym, that is the color scheme on the bar. I think that's brilliant. And they frequently will buy the lures and drop the lures in the shopping center to get people to come in. And some businesses will also do that. I think there was a pizza place up in New York. They had a Pokestop. And so they spent $10 on lures and came in and had hundreds of dollars worth of profit because all these Pokemon Go players came in and bought pizzas since there was a lure. And all the company did was buy $10 worth of lures in Pokemon Go and actually put them on there. Some businesses get this. Others are like, no, you know, if you're going to play Pokemon, don't do it here. It's for paying customers only. There's, you know, and if you're playing Pokemon Go, don't trespass. People actually ask me, have people come into my backyard more since Pokemon Go? And I tell them no, because all I have are Pidgeys, and nobody wants those anymore. But because I'm out in the suburbs, and you only get like three or four different Pokemon out in the suburbs. You got to go into the city to get more variety. Which is why it sucks I couldn't get out in San Francisco, because I could have gotten a lot of like amazing Pokemon out there. I am impressed with it. There are a lot of issues with the game itself, and we actually have a podcast now on VogNetwork.com called the Pokestop Podcast, because apparently Rob Roberts does not do enough Pokemon enough podcasts that he has to do one about Pokemon. And it's also actually the first podcast I actually hosted at VogNetwork.com, and I was so happy that my code worked. I wrote that code like years ago, and we never used it until now. So we're actually hosting the podcast here at Vogue, and he kind of goes more into like the details of what's going on in the game, you know, because they're the game doesn't teach you anything, which I've kind of learned is by design. But there's also, like, you know, there's bugs in the game. There's, you know, there should be more, you know, there should be more PvP, kind of like what Ingress has. But Ingress has also been around for many years. But I kind of figured out that there's really no tutorial in the game. It doesn't tell you much. And the reason for that is it forces you to talk to other people, to ask them what they've learned. Yes, now you can find websites that say, hey, if you you know, run away from the starter Pokemon three times, you get a Pikachu. If you, you know, and then it's like, here's how to actually, you know, catch. Here's what the circle means when you're trying to catch something. Here's how to be successful at a gym and things like that. But they don't tell you that in the app because they want to force you to have a social interaction with someone else to learn that information. So, so Pokemon Go, it's, I'm impressed with the cultural, impact that it has had. I'm not very impressed with the servers right now because every time they add a new country, it goes down. And why go to a park now when it doesn't count towards, your eggs, hatching? But I'm very impressed with that. I am impressed with a lot of the community, the majority of the players and the community that has been formed. In multiple different areas. I hear so many stories. My girlfriend works down in kind of the business district here in Atlanta, and you know, they've got like the place she goes to lunch is a Pokestop. They'll drop a lure, and people actually, and there's a gym nearby, and an entire office will go to that gym and start battling it for their lunch break. So it's even, you know, working professionals going around playing this game, and it's amazing to watch. And you know, trying to explaining it to people, because what I see on my Facebook feed is the people are like, I'd care about Pokemon Go, but I'm not 10 and I've got better stuff to do. And I'm like, yeah, like, post those memes, don't post themselves to Facebook while you're, you know, doing that. You know, while you're posting memes to Facebook, making fun of all of us, we're actually going out and meeting people and getting out of the house. And there are people like, why are they coming out of their mom's basement? They should go back into their mom's basement and don't talk to me. I just want to play Pokemon in peace. But honestly, to understand the cultural significance, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert did an opening segment. And there was such a subtle thing in this opening segment that not many people noticed. So he did an opening segment, and it was a very serious opening segment because he wanted to talk about all the unfortunate violence that's been happening in the world. And he's like, you know, we need to come together as a society. We need to come together and look past our differences and try to work together to unite us all together. And then immediately, as he's saying this, one of his staffers comes in between him and the camera playing Pokemon Go. And he yells at them to get out of the camera, and then he tries to continue his statement. And then somebody else does it. And then suddenly, like, he's got six or seven staffers around him saying, there's a Bulbasaur on the stage, we're trying to catch it. And he gets up and says, I'm going to catch you all, and he runs them all off. The subtlety of that is that if you look closely, all the staffers are of different nationalities. They were playing Pokemon Go and doing exactly what he was saying in his serious part that we need to do. We need to unite together and look past our differences, and that's exactly what Pokemon Go is doing. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, order. I'd usually take a quick music break, but I talked way too long on that. So I'm going to go ahead and open the phone lines just in case somebody wants to call in, talk about their Pokemon Go experience. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. We don't have that much time to take calls because I did talk a lot. But there was a lot of stuff to parse through. I'll also try to read through chat because a lot of people have been talking about chat on this. And Breakman says, Pokemon, no. Honestly, this is like the first Pokemon game I've really seriously played. I was not a Pokemon person. I do own Pokemon Blue, I think. I got it when it came out for the original Game Boy. But I actually remember when Pokemon was first announced at E3, I was on the All Games Network back in the 90s because it was in Atlanta, so they had me on. And I actually had a Pokeball because they were giving them out, because this was the E3 where Nintendo said, we're going to put all this, you know, emphasis on Pokemon. And I said, this is going to be one of the dumbest things. I don't know why Nintendo is putting all their stock in this Pokemon thing. Boy, was I wrong. So, yeah. And speaking of the All Games Network, I did want to kind of mention this. I forgot to put it in the show notes, but I did want to say Unfortunately, in 2016, being 2016, if you were around the All Games Network in the 90s, this is before it became, and actually in the early days of the G4 television network, a man you probably have heard of was the name of Jim Downs. Jim Downs was the co-host with Scott Rubin of Game Time, the TV show that was on Pseudo and on Real Player and stuff back in the 90s. It was a very like postage stamp size TV show. So he was on that, but he was also a director behind the scenes. And when he went over to G4, he was a director of content for many years over there and helped launch some of the shows and stuff. And then he kind of when he decided it was time to leave G4, probably after the tech TV thing, he became just a freelance video director and stuff like that. And he was on a shoot in Alaska last week and had an accident in a 4x4, and he is no longer with us. So condolences to him and his family. He's touched a lot of lives. He was actually big in the motorcycle community more recently. He was actually an amateur pilot in the time of the 90s. So he was actually doing a lot of the airplane simulation games. He was actually kind of like the voice of those in the AGN days. So condolences to his family and friends. He's touched a lot of different communities in a lot of different areas, not just in video games, but like also he was in the motorcycle scene and in kind of like the broadcast documentary making scene and stuff. So he will be missed. He was taken way, way too early. Tiger Claw says, Pokemon Go is introducing a new audience to the franchise and creating potential that fans might play the other Pokemon games that are not there, even ones you can play online. So we do have a call here on the line, so we're going to go ahead and take it real quick. Bobby Black will show you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it's Brad from Pod Culture.
Brad, what's up, man?
I hate you, bud.
Why do you hate me? What did I do this time?
You influenced me into picking up the Gear VR.
Oh, welcome. Breakman was wondering if he was going to get to drink tonight.
Well, it does say powered by Oculus.
Yes, it is. It is. That is the Oculus software that's running it.
No, I had to pick up a new phone, and I made the mistake of trying it out at Best Buy.
Yes. What do you think of it?
It's pretty damn sweet.
So what are you doing with it?
Watching Netflix.
Yeah. That's a very valid thing to do with it, because it gives you a big screen if you don't have your own big screen.
Oh, I mean, they have a remote control sitting next to you on that couch. Yep. So it's
And the other thing that they do that a lot of people don't notice is that they do brighten and darken the room based on what's coming on the TV. So it actually looks like, you know, it's reflecting what's on the TV.
And it is crazy.
Yeah. No, it's come a long way since mine, because like my Note 4 is almost at the end of the days, it seems. So I'm going to have to upgrade and stuff, and so I'm probably going to go get the new Gear VR, because like no, the Gear VR actually doesn't run on my phone anymore. My phone's too old, and they've progressed too far, so I can't even run anything. It overheats. How's the overheating on it?
It gets hotter than hell, man.
Yeah, like it's, I feel like I need to like water cool my get a water cooling case.
It just about does. The only thing I would say is I wish they had a way to plug in an external battery or something to it.
Yeah, because it takes up the USB port. That's how it slides in.
It sucks batteries like a Hoover.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really nice. I got the S7 Edge.
That's
and,
cool.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at, maybe.
You get that nice Olympic edition that's coming out tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need it yet, but like I know like the microphone on my phone doesn't work anymore. So it's kind of hard to like actually take calls.
A little bit. And I don't know
why. Like the speaker microphone works, but like the regular microphone doesn't work from what I get told when I call people and they can't hear me. So I may actually have to get a new phone soon.
Yeah, hope you have one by Dragon Con.
Yeah, so I want, speaking of that, actually, speaking of what's coming up, because I'm coming up to your area.
Oh, yeah.
What is Fandom Fest?
It's literally basically what the name says, a festival of fandoms. It's kind of a mini Dragon Con in a lot of ways, but not near as crowded.
Right.
It's going to be interesting. They moved it out to the fairgrounds this year.
Yeah. So, but I mean, is it more like comics and sci-fi, or is there gaming? What is all there?
Probably mostly comics and sci-fi. Right. There's some gaming stuff. There's some lots of gaming stuff in the dealer's room. And there's usually some retro stuff set up around, and they've even had a few cabinets up too.
That's cool. So why NSYNC and Backstreet Boys?
I have no idea.
Is that to get the teen girls in, or the people that were teen girls in the 90s?
I know of a few that are going because of that, yes.
Hey, it works for them. No, but I noticed it's one of Stan Lee's final appearances.
Yeah, I had to go to that. I saw him a couple of years ago when he was at Fandom Fest, and he was hysterical.
And Kevin Smith is the other headliner, I think.
Yeah. I think he's there the day... It's getting to be like Dragon Con, where the day before is the start of the con.
Yeah, and he's like doing something, like he's doing his evening with Kevin Smith at another theater attached or something.
Yeah, I think at the Baxter, which isn't too far from there. And I think he's showing Yoga Hosers.
Yeah. So I'm excited for it. Just to, you know, it's something different. I don't think I've been to a con that's like Dragon Con but smaller. Actually, you guys have had, like, for a con that's, like, in Kentucky, you guys have had, like, several of the previous doctors. Like, Matt Smith showed up one year.
Yeah, I didn't get to go to that con, unfortunately. But, he's been in there. About all the classic doctors.
Which you don't expect for something, like, in the Midwest like that. Or something that, it shows that, you know, this is kind of a more serious con, and so, which is also why I decided, yes, I'll take the time off work to come to this one, to see what it's like. So I'm excited, so I get to see you in 2 weeks.
Well, hopefully we'll get you on our show too, man.
Yeah, I get to actually see the infamous Pod Culture Studio.
Well, it's morphing into something new fairly soon, but, Yeah. Looking forward to having you up here, bud, and I guess we'll see you in a few weeks.
All right. Thanks so much, man.
Later, bud.
So coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and they talked about games much, much longer last week because they were here and I wasn't. And so they got all the Pokemon Go talk done out of their system. They're not going to talk about Pokemon Go ever again because they spent 3 hours last week. Sacramento, you guys there?
We are here, Bobby, and you're wrong.
I figured I'd be wrong.
You were right earlier in the show, but you're wrong now.
So, Pokestop podcast.
Uh-huh.
New podcast. You decided to do it, and then like 3 days later, you have a new episode, and then you've got another episode like 3 days later. What is wrong with you?
Well, okay, to be fair, the first episode had been taped last Saturday. It's just everything came together very fast. You know, Shane had the idea to do a Pokemon podcast for some time. And I know he was out there asking different people, like, would you want a guest on a show and this sort of thing. And I know he had asked me early on, and I was like, Shane, I don't play enough of the new Pokemon games like you do. Like, I'm trying to get into it, but I don't know what I'd really be able to bring to the table. So I kind of said, hey, I'd love to guest sometime, and maybe I could talk about Pokemon Go is going to be upcoming and, you know, my experiences with Ingress and all this stuff. But I said, I don't know if now's the right time. Well, then Pokemon Go came out, and it's huge, and it is Pokemon right now.
Yes.
And it's causing people to go back, and myself included, people to go back and appreciate the rest of the franchise, because I think there were a lot of people out there that probably played the original games and maybe one or two other generations here and there, but I don't think there were as many that have been following it consistently since. And that's why I think it was actually a good decision on Niantic's part, and many would disagree with me on this, probably Shane too. I think it was a good decision for them to just limit it to the original 151 in the beginning to tickle people's nostalgia. Now, when the game starts to roll low on Steam, which it will eventually, we don't know how long this is going to take, but it's going to start to roll low on Steam, that's when they'll start releasing the second and third generations to get people hyped up about it again. Mm-hmm. But I digress a little bit. When Go came out and Go is huge, I said, all right, I think I could do this. I could represent, the more casual side of Pokemon fandom who's kind of discovering it again because of Go. Let's do this. But if we're going to do it, we're going to do it now because we have to strike while the iron's hot, so to speak, right? Because, again, who knows how long this Go thing's going to last. So we recorded the episode last Saturday. I think Go came out on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yeah.
I pitched the idea to Shane on Thursday, which really was his own idea back at him. And then Saturday we recorded the first show. But with you being out of town and I had to get art done and an intro done, you know, it was like I still had to wait for voiceovers from Jason, all this stuff. Yeah. So it's like we didn't really get everything into place until Wednesday. But
we
still did our second episode last night. So that's why the gap between these first two episodes seems really short. But in all honesty, don't get used to it.
And here's what I got to say.
Yeah.
And I take issue with this.
Mm.
My girlfriend
mm-hmm.
listens to that podcast. She does not listen to my show.
I'm honored, but you know what, Bobby? In all honesty, and you know I love you, bud, but that just shows we're doing it right, and it's the thing that we needed to do.
Yeah. So she's now said, "Hey, Bobby, you said a while ago that you were going to get that new 3DS." She actually asked me about that today because she's like, you know. There's a new Pokemon game for the 3DS. And if I get the new 3DS, she gets my original small 3DS.
Yep, inherits by default the old machine.
And she's fine with it.
Yeah.
And she was also watching Evo. She's like, don't they make a Smash Brothers for 3DS? And I'm like, yes. But she listens to your show, but not mine.
I don't know how to feel. No, I'm really honored about that. That's amazing.
So but apparently, hey, I mean, if there were those portals at Dragon Con,
mm-hmm.
one of them might. I haven't been down there, so I don't know if they're Pokestops or gyms down at the Hyatt.
Oh, I'm sure there's Pokestops. There was more than one portal anyway, so I'm sure they're.
Well, I don't know which one's going to be the gym.
Yeah,
but they did move the gaming over to the America's Mart.
Oh, they did?
So we're actually closer to the gaming area in the Hyatt than I was in the Hilton where I was staying last time. So all my friends that are in the Hilton that I just left, they're so mad right now.
Does that mean America's Mart is going to be open 24 hours?
That area of the America's Mart will be open 24 hours, yes.
That's good. I'm glad they worked that out.
Yeah, actually, back when gaming was there a long time ago, it was 24 hours in that area. Some areas can be 24 hours and some areas don't have to be.
So what else has moved around because of that? So now what moved into the basement of the Hyatt or the basement of the Hilton?
I think that's going to be more panel rooms, maybe.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Huh.
Or I think they're also renovating. Like, I don't know if, like, this is the Hilton renovation or something. I don't know. So, yeah. But that's, like, less than 50 days away.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Although I haven't heard anything about the podcasting stuff, so I don't know if that means, sure what that means, but we'll see.
It's still going. It's just I don't know how much we'll be on it.
Yeah, we'll
see.
Who
knows? But so Pokemon Go, big cultural phenomenon. Whenever VH1 does I Love the 2010s, this is definitely going to be at least a segment.
At least a segment.
Even if everybody stops playing it tomorrow, it's still going to be at least a segment.
But still, remember that week everybody was playing Pokemon Go?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's going to last a little longer than that, though. But I think what happens is that the crowds at these places start to thin out. But I think for the next, I would go so far as to say 6 months, there's going to be some people at these parks that weren't there before playing Pokemon. They just might not all be there at once like they've been in the past.
But I mean, even when I was, we ate the downtown, the small town, because I'm in suburbia. So it's like a small town kind of vibe, even though we're close enough to things that there's still a lot of people here. But even just downtown today eating, we actually ran into like four or five other people playing Pokemon.
It's everywhere. I mean, it's not just like I live about not even probably like six houses down the street. There's a park here, and it's not like a major park. It's just here's like a block of land that is grass and a play structure for children. And it has three portals in Ingress, but in Pokemon it is a God, I'm like telling people where I live.
A gym
and a Pokestop is where it is.
Yeah.
And
you've just described pretty much every park.
Yeah, it's true. That's pretty much every city park, to be fair. But even that park has people at it. Not a ton, but like I didn't see people just sitting around one of the landmarks that happens to be one of the stops and gyms. I would not see that before, but now I do. And we see lures going off at the stop, and I drove by, and there was just like five or six people just on the ground, chilling, having fun. I mean, and that's just a tiny city block park.
Yeah.
You know,
my local park has eight or nine Pokestops and two gyms.
That's pretty impressive. Oh, well, we spent some time in Old Town Sacramento a couple nights this week, and that is like it will blow your mind. Like it's just so because there's water Pokemon that spawn there because by the river.
Yeah,
the community center by my house has.
Oh yeah, you got a ton
12
of there.
Pokestops. Yeah. And a gym.
Oh, and I bet there's just constantly people there.
Well, there's always people there, but it's even better because now you see more people who will interact with you.
Yeah.
And the park people love it because it's bringing more people to the park so they can try to justify, you know, where the money's going to when we're like, oh, and my taxes, why do I have to pay for the parks? Well, now more people are using it.
Yeah, that guy from the National Park Service actually put out a video that was like, hey, we understand you're all coming to our parks to catch, but just, take a minute to appreciate what's around you and don't forget your tax. I mean, it was worded differently, yeah. But don't forget tax dollars go into this. And they seem really jazzed about it. And I think for the most part, a lot of people are. Even some of the cemeteries, I mean, everybody's kind of dealing with it differently. But some are kind of realizing like, okay, well, I mean, we can kind of make the best of this and it does get people out. And, it was a weird thing for me at first in Ingress to go to cemeteries to play. But then when you realize like there's a lot of beautiful sculptures and statues and tributes, there's a lot of real beauty here that I would have never thought to come see if it wasn't for this game.
When I lived in Alabama, I would go visit cemeteries anyway, but you'd have them graves dating back to the 1700s.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always a historical point for me. But now finding, just like you were saying, that people can now play their game and go appreciate history. And on a morbid note, I think that people don't get themselves as familiar or friendly with death as we used to.
Mm-hmm.
So this actually could be good psychologically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good psychologically in a lot of ways. And even I'll kind of leave it on this. With the Pokestop podcast this week, we had an email from a listener who kind of told us firsthand about – I don't usually leave the house, and now I'm leaving the house. And this is one of many stories you're hearing. Yeah. And it's just like you really take a minute to go, wow, this game is impacting culture. This video game is having a positive effect. With all the negative junk we get projected at the gaming community, with all the bad things that gaming does, look at what is happening.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, and that, like I said, that happened at the park today. Now, I mean, granted, the servers went down right when I got there, but we still talked for a while. Mm-hmm. But there was a young lady there who was like, normally I'd be sitting at home or whatever, but I decided to get a whole bunch of bottled waters, bring them in a cooler, and you can't sell them in the park. That's against, and she knew that, but she was just giving them away. And she said, I have social anxiety. This is helping me learn how to talk with people. And she had just graduated high school.
That, like, seriously gives me feels and chills.
Yeah.
Like, just hearing that is just, like, it just makes me kind of proud in a way.
Mm-hmm. And she was, we actually told her, we can't tell that you have problem talking to people. And she's like, well, thank you. And so, like, even already in, like, the week that it's been out, she's been able to come out of her shell a little bit, which is something that's really going to help her in life because she did just graduate high school. So she's at that point when... when it's time to come out of your shell so you can, succeed in life.
Right.
So, yeah. So I am, even though I kind of, made fun of Pokemon, I actually know what an EV is now. And all
educating
that stuff.
Yourself.
I am.
Big girlfriends talking about my show.
Yes. But now I feel like I can go back and play Pokemon Blue because I still have the cartridge.
And you know what? And even though we've said in the past this isn't Nintendo's game, Nintendo loaned something out and they're getting a huge return on their investment, huge.
Yeah.
Even though you can kind of look at it that way, at the same time, when the servers were down, I saw multiple tweets from people that were like, I just downloaded Pokemon Yellow on Virtual Console and I'm going to check this out for the first time. Yeah. And I'm like, that's how Nintendo's winning.
Yeah.
Brand awareness.
Yeah, well, and hey, my girlfriend's like, hey, isn't there a 3DS Pokemon?
Yep.
Now and so yeah, she may be getting into the 3DS gaming. I actually, my tweet today was when the servers went down. It's like with the servers down, the people here all got so bored they started throwing an oblong ball at each other. How barbaric.
Dan sent me an MMA fight where one of the fighters punched the other guy in the head, knocked him out, went over, put on a hat, and threw a Pokeball at him.
How pleasant. But it just shows it's impacting everything in society, even theater.
Yes. No, I'm happy for it. We needed something good to happen in 2016, and I'm glad that this is it. What else are we going to be talking about? Are we going to be talking about the new Nintendo NX that just plays NES games?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to talk about that a little bit because, you know, I got to admit, I'm kind of on the fence. When I first heard the news, I was like, nah, I'm not going to get one. I've at least upgraded and now I'm on the fence. But, you know, Nintendo knows how to work that nostalgia. So we'll see what's going to happen with this. Also, you know, in a slow news week, we're going to indulge ourselves in rumors a little more than usual. But apparently some big rumors about the PlayStation 4 Neo. Some very big details about what they are planning. It's one of those take it with a huge grain of salt things, but it certainly seems plausible. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, with Evo going on, a lot of people talking about Street Fighter V this evening, but Street Fighter V really irritating some people with their newest DLC this week. And should they be releasing DLC when the game still kind of needs work? I don't know. It might just be the curse of the odd number of Street Fighter games. I think that's where we're at this point, but we'll see.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next week, next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for the 11th anniversary show, which may not actually be any kind of special show or anything like that, but it is the 11th anniversary, July 24th. 2005 is when I started the show. July 24th, 2016 is next Sunday. So we'll be here live at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. Join us. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use in the show or an 11th anniversary message on the toll-free number, which is 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter at BobbyBlackWolf is where I put put my thoughts on things every once in a while, so you may want to follow. Or you can also submit questions by going to the episode pages of any of the shows here at VogNetwork.com, but especially mine. And maybe Pokestop Podcast, maybe even OLRs, but especially mine. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. And I do want to call out that somebody said earlier before the show that the first rule of the Bobby Blackwell show is you do not talk about the Bobby Blackwell show. That is a terrible, terrible rule. I think you should tell other people about it because somebody may learn their new favorite podcast or they may tune in once and hate it. And that's fine. Because not everybody has to like it. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Tatsuya, DC Nate, VHJSNXV, Bird, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc 978, Shadow Next Gen, Tiger Claw, Loki, Acteft, Alt, Bacon Bits, Bob Coffey, Brad from Pod Culture, Breakman, DeBlue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Eswat, Jai Deet, Jax, Kaijudo, Kazan, Matt Cube, MXC, MXT, Orange Wright, Raginator, SJ100 Matt, Stoppy, Toagak, True, William Murderface, Zappy, and Zeba. So that is it for me. I got to make sure that I get this right here, and I'm going to click that, and that's the outro. I haven't been here for 2 weeks. I forget how to do the entire show. So be safe catching Pokemon. Don't trespass. Don't drive. Be safe, but enjoy it, unless you're not on Team Poop.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.